You know what I just realized?
What?
We're live, live.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
All right, we're live, live.
We're live, live.
Oh, yeah, we did get the alert. Whoa.
God damn it. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Black Tower Podcast. I'm the Sorbonne Mihail, and I'm having a mental breakdown. Just look, you know how you have King Midas and everything he touches turns to gold? Everything I touch turns to shit.
I don't think it's quite that bad. Bruh.
Hi, welcome to this live episode. Sorry, patrons. We know that normally you pay for this kind of action, and we thank you for generously donating this evening exclusivity with the Black Tower Podcast.
Think of it as your account has already been charged, whether you know it or not.
Think of it as a advertising to have more people join us. Yeah. Hi.
There's the solution.
Slanja.
Just drink more. Oh, man.
Who are you, good sir? Who are you?
I ask myself that every day, man. Hadn't figured it out yet. I'm Andrew. I'm the Bajan Mihail. I'm his slightly less turn things to shit in my hands my partner, I guess. I don't know. I'll say that as I fumble my way through the English language.
English?
Yeah. What's that?
Inglés. No habla yeah. Inglés.
So, I guess normally we do try to do at least like two publicly available recordings live. So this is one.
There it is. We got it. There we got our first one out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if I was more prepared, I would have the other stuff up. Bro, we're batting 1,000 today, man. Oh, gosh.
Good. Hi.
Luckily, it's just a click away.
Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast, where we bring all of your fantasies to life and make you feel like you're part of the team.
Well, if you don't know much of what we do or much about us or want to get into the know on everything Black Tower... podcast, head on over to blacktowerpod.com. It's our one-stop shop for all of our stuff, where you can find our Discord, you can find our Patreon, where you would normally get these live episodes every week, if you find this fun and entertaining. And you can also find all of our merch stores there. It's a pretty fun time. It's a pretty cool time. It's pretty fun.
And I'm even going to update the website once I get past this curse of mine for breaking everything with pictures we got at JordanCon. That's right. We did just wrap up JordanCon. It was amazing. It was a great weekend. We had a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun to be had at JordanCon. It was great. And took a lot of pictures, had a lot of fun, and we're going to have those pictures loaded up. If you want to see pictures you took on our website, jump into our Discord, go to the JordanCon chat channel, and post those pictures there. I will load them onto our website.
Yeah. Can also tag us in them on Twitter. You can DM them to us on Twitter, or you can email them to blacktowerpod@gmail.com.
Or give me a call.
I swear.
Like, what's up, Josh?
If I see somebody's taint hole come across our email.
I mean, there was plenty of that at JordanCon. I'm just saying.
I mean, from what I heard.
From what I heard.
From what I heard. I heard there was plenty of taint hole.
Plenty of taint hole.
Speaking of hearing things, we're not alone, Josh. We have a fantastic guest that has plenty to say about the Wheel of Time. It is always a delight to talk to you. Everybody, put your hands together for the fantastic London River. How's it going?
Good. I also didn't see any taint hole at JordanCon. I feel like I missed out on that.
We weren't invited to that party.
We were too busy having a yelling match in your room to like have a go to the tea
party. Yeah, that's what we did instead.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems like so much more fun than a taint hole party.
It was for me because, you know, I've been to a lot of taint hole parties, but I haven't gotten like into a point where voices are raised about the Wheel of Time ever. So it was nice. Yeah, yeah. Andrew like popped my yelling about fantasy books cherry.
Well done, Andrew. Well done, London. Well done. Well done. You know what? This is a big round of applause for everybody involved. Thank you for
everything. 6 years of podcasting will do it to you, man.
Thank you for being a friend.
I don't have any cherries left, or I thought I didn't. And so there we go.
It's a great thing about this fandom. Just when you think you've run out of cherries, we find a new one to pop.
That'll be the quote of the night right there. I don't have any cherries left.
It should be like a New York Times review of the Wheel of Time fandom. Just when you think there's no cherries left, they find a new one to pop.
Oh, God. Oh, that's too good. That is too good. Oh, wow. Hi.
What's your Jordan memory? Listen here, you son of a bitch.
Honestly, it was actually, that was my favorite thing I did at Jordan.
Hey, look, sometimes it'd be like that, though. Sometimes you get into the situation and you're talking and you're passionate and it's just fun, especially when you can have a conversation that is like very passionate and it be with someone with whom you like may not agree with, but you respect still. Does that make sense? Well,
and like it was like friendly disagreement.
Yeah.
But because there was a lot of alcohol involved, the volume just because that's what happens.
Yeah. London got to see my switch where I'm perfectly fine until very suddenly I am not.
You are not fine, so but I was in no state of mind to help you either. So you were really not fine, and I went back inside and I was like, hey Josh, Andrew's not great. Go out and help him. And then I went to my room.
Actually, is that the night, Andrew? I think that's the night that both of us did the stumbling to our rooms.
Quite possible.
Because I remember London, you being like, go get your boy. And I was like, all right, cool. And I went and got my boy, and both of us are like, it's time for bed. Okay, cool. Elevator. Buttons.
Yeah. Why isn't it working?
I wasn't great myself, but like there's nothing I can do. I'm just a little lady. Like
that's true.
I don't blame you. Whenever I wind up being the not super fucked up one and I see that stuff start happening, I also just kind of like, all right, time to go somewhere else.
Also, I was super fucked up. So, like, it wasn't like I wasn't the super fucked up one. I was just still standing, and I looked at you, and I saw my future, and I wanted to go someplace safe.
As always, our comments are coming in clutch. All Hispanic conversations are at max volume. Oh, I love it.
Those of you that don't know wine is Hispanic, so.
Yes, yeah.
He's got the
Hispanic past. Man.
Go lay down.
And we love him. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, I'm talking to my dog.
Oh, right, yes.
I'm actually tired, gladly. Yes, ma'am. Not a problem.
Look, you broke out the mom voice, and I just, look, I responded, okay?
Yeah. Pips is adorable. Got to meet Pips at JordanCon.
Oh, that's right.
That was definitely one of the highlights. Anytime there's a dog around, it's a highlight.
Luna was there too. She's a little less extroverted, but I said your name, but I didn't want to.
But mom,
you just said my name.
You're fine.
It was a good time.
Let's anything new going on with you, London? Anything you want to promote or tell the people about or any of that fun stuff?
No, I'm not promoting anything. All right. Not
absolutely fine. We're gonna hear wine.
Hey, look, sometimes you want to be able to put the NCO stripes down and just be able to do what you're told, all right? What is the Family Guy skit where it's like by day I'm important businessman, but at night I am bad boy?
I don't know.
It's like people lining up to get spanked by Lois. I think it's the episode where like Lois first spanks Stewie. I can remember stuff like that, but then you ask me like, you know, what book did this character show up in? And I'm like, one of them. I don't know.
one of
the books. Somewhere between 1 and 14, I swear.
There's some books in the middle that blur for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm just kind of like, like, it's all, like the events, the exact events will blur a little.
I was saying, like, I feel like I generally remember, like, the order things happening, but whether I remember it happening in Crossroads of Twilight or Towers of Midnight or any of that kind of stuff, like, no, it's not going to happen. So
for me, the two that like sometimes get fuzzy are Crossroads of Twilight and Winter's Heart. I like every once in a while I'm just like, oh, but what, who cares?
It doesn't help that those two books happen like simultaneously.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is like when you get into Crossroads of Twilight, like, it's all, everything's happening at once, and so who cares?
We actually, yeah, we kind of talked about this with Wheel Reads the other day. We were going over
the Midnight Crown of Twilight's Heart.
That's right. And one of the things that, and one of the points that I made, and I know this isn't directly our topic, but it is a fun sidebar. And one of the things that, because Winter's Heart is my favorite book in the series. I love Winter's Heart. And one of the things that makes Winter's Heart my favorite is that Crossroads of Twilight happens while the climax of Winter's Heart is happening. And it gives weight to what's happening in Winter's Heart. And you're reading through Crossroads, and this is one of the reasons why I had a problem getting through Crossroads, is because I was reading through Crossroads going, what happened at the end of Winter's Heart? What the hell? And they kept talking about it the whole book. And I was like, this is a world changing event. Like, this is amazing. And so that was kind of one of the things that I liked in subsequent reads about Crossroads of Twilight that I didn't necessarily appreciate the first time through.
Winter's Heart is like the cool sideline, like, down at the field level seats of the game, and you're like, oh, this is really cool. And then Crossroads of Twilight is the nosebleed section with the boring people that are like, just kind of being like, I think I know what happened.
I love Crossroads of Twilight so much.
Oh, do you?
It happens the whole time, but for whatever reason, I really enjoy it quite a bit.
It's like a breather book. Like, you get to calm down, you get to chill with the characters that are just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because the stakes aren't quite as high through the book, and so you get to know everybody. It's like a oh my god, you finally get to introduce yourself to me, we've been so busy this whole time. It's like being on a tour bus and you've been going to like multiple places, but then you have that break. I don't know if you've ever gone on a tour with a bus. Don't do it, it sucks. But like,
yeah. Oh yeah, we tour all the time.
Yeah. You know, no, I actually, that was how I toured Egypt, and it was the worst.
Yeah, well, but you never know anybody there, and then all of a sudden you have that evening where you actually have time for dinner and everyone gets cocktails, and you suddenly realize all these cool people you've been on a bus with this whole fucking time and you haven't talked to them. And that's what Crossroads of Twilight is for me. I'm like, oh my god, you are a cool person.
The bus tour of books, Crossroads of Twilight.
You're not a complete asshole like I thought, just based off of how you sit in your chair.
Yeah. Crossroads.
In all fairness, they were chewing their gum really loud. So,
yeah. If I were going to describe that book, it's like free night on the bus tour. That's what Crossroads is. And it's great.
There it is. That's gonna be in July at WattCon.
Oh yeah, yeah, we are.
We are riding for World's End, for WattCon and World's End.
Are you guys gonna like have like some Wheel of Time themed thing while you're
riding? I'm gonna see if I can.
Sorry, I'm not a motorcyclist, clearly.
Exactly how you ride a motorcycle.
That is That is exactly how you do it. Yes.
If you see anybody on the road and they're not doing that with their handlebars, they're just not moving. Could you imagine seeing a whole troop of like Hell's Angels or pagans? Everybody's just
beard like blowing in the wind, yeah, you
flapping
know,
flapping in the breeze.
Oh, shut up! You're making me cry. I don't know. I was trying to make a hand motion that people could see.
It works.
I mean, it could happen if you're, because I do know people that their handlebars have had a weak weld and they snapped in while they were riding. They came apart, so they were almost like independent side steering, which doesn't work.
Optimal.
Your bars. Yeah, no. Bars moving while you're like, especially doing like 80 down the highway is an absolute pucker factor. Because my old bike, when I put new ape hangers on it, I put 12-inch apes on the old bike, which brought it finally up to like almost shoulder level. And the knurling on it wasn't grippy enough. And I did something where I went to adjust on the bike and I pulled forward. And when I did, the handlebars went,
uh-oh.
So, it's a bit of a this is how it ends I think I was on the way to Washington DC for the Rolling Thunder ride. It's a long time ago, but
every time someone says Washington DC, all I can think of is, and monkey's brains are quite popular in Cantonese cuisine, are not oftenly found in Washington DC.
I don't know that reference.
It makes two of
if
us.
If you know the reference, put it in the chat. I gave you a hint. It was Tim Curry that said it. And he said it two different times in the movie.
Hmm.
And it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
It used to be a thing where you said Tim Curry and I would think of Scary Movie. Now you say Tim Curry and all I can think of is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Which I watched for the first time all the way through, like, last October.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. A movie I saw all the way through before and more times than you. That is a surprise. Have you watched Donnie Darko?
I've seen Donnie Darko, yes.
Yeah. In that same vein of like cult classic.
Yeah.
But also not very good. Like when you're like, I mean.
Oh, yeah, no. That's tends to be a common denominator amongst cult classics. Like,
yeah, it's like, why do we love this?
Because we do.
Let's talk about the thing.
Yeah,
let's put a spoiler warning on so people are protected before we do it.
That's right.
So that y'all know that this episode will be spoilers. This one's brought to you by our friends at Gleeman's Apprentice.
The Black Tower stands fully erect.
When the tower is bulging at full erectness, you must protect yourself from tainty spoilers.
Your spoiler condom must cover the immense girthiness of all 14 books of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
With an itty bitty tip at the top for the prequel, New Spring.
If your condom is too small, you will get tainty spoilages all up in your eye.
Or ears. You have been warned.
Stay safe,
friends. Why was that so dirty?
What are you talking about? It's just a protection. It's a spoiler warning. I don't know what you mean.
You guys spent too much time with North Harbor.
That's not something I'm normally accused of, so I'll take
it. I was just happy to find it.
Normally it's just a waving pass by and I don't even know I was there. A pleasant surprise.
Oh, we're off to a great start. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Okay. Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Okay, you've heard us talk in the past about talents. We have capital T talents, and we have lowercase t talents. A lowercase t talent is something that anyone can learn to do, right? You can learn to play trumpet. You can do that. Anybody can learn to play trumpet. But if you have a lowercase t talent for playing the trumpet, that means one day you picked it up and you were like, ooh, I like it. It's a trumpet. I can play it. Just like that. And you're all there. It's trumpet mastery from the beginning, right? Uppercase T talents, which we didn't talk about this in our episode, but we probably could say that channeling is an uppercase T talent. Uppercase T talents, you can try all you want. But if you can't do it, you can't do it. Period. End of story. You can't. You can't be a wolf brother. You can't channel. You just can't. And if you can channel, maybe you can learn to weave a gateway. But you have to have a certain power level, unless you're Andral, who's the best. And then you can just be like, oh yeah, I can only channel a trickle of power, but I can open up a gateway inside a motherfucking volcano. Okay?
I think like maybe one of the best dividers between capital T and lowercase T talents is like capital T talents allow you to like break the rules.
Yes!
Like with Andral. Like he breaks the rules with making gateways. Definitely breaks the rules because he makes a gateway in a dream spike. Like,
yep.
That's capital T talent. But lowercase yes. T, yeah, like you said, like it's something that anybody with access to what's required could do.
Right. And tonight we are covering a capital T talent, something that was very, very old and very, very new at the same time. A talent that pops up every few people in a generation, right? Like it's pretty rare, but it's still pretty like commonly represented throughout Randland.
Yeah.
Is it like commonly represented? I don't remember any reference to how commonly.
Well, we only have
heard of.
Yeah. Well, we only have one in the books, but don't they know of it because there's always like at least one or two that's hired by the king?
I don't think so. No. That's not, I don't remember that being.
maybe I'm wrong.
I don't remember any documentation of this particular one.
Because I mean, when they talk about having a sniffer.
Yeah, no. Well, now you've announced what the talent is. Nobody had stated it yet, so.
Oh well.
For now, so.
Nipper.
There you go.
Big reveal.
So yeah, because he began working for Lord Aglomar.
Right, but I don't think that like they usually have a sniffer. I think that like I felt like the sniffer was very unique, at least as far as what's documented.
Yeah, well, it's the weird thing for me is like over the course of the books, we come across. What, three wolf brothers? Maybe, yeah, three or four?
Right. But you only have one sniffer.
Yeah, but we only come across one sniffer. But when they talk about wolf brother, everybody's like, what is that? We've never heard of that in my life. Right. But in the Borderlands, it seems, you talk about sniffers, and it's something that
they
are acquainted with. It's not... It's treated as, like, it's definitely unique. It's not super common, but... Nobody goes around and they're like, oh, what the hell is a sniffer? Like they do with Wolf Brother.
Well, and I feel like with sniffers, probably for like reasons that we find out in the books, it's, you know, even if you are a sniffer, you don't advertise it because you don't want like attention.
Well, and there's even like a, a difference, or there's even a like a similarity between Wolf Brothers and Sniffers in that they're both, you know, can use their talents for tracking. And that's actually kind of how Perrin hides his Wolf Brother abilities for a while by telling everybody he's a sniffer.
I would just like to know if there's any documentation of any other sniffers, because I don't remember that.
Of Perrin? About Perrin?
No, Perrin's not a sniffer.
Right.
Of Huron, is there documentation of other sniffers?
Documentation
of Wolf Brothers.
Well, that's where it gets weird, right?
Which because makes me think that Wolf Brothers are more common.
Yeah, in the books we have three Wolf Brothers, but only one sniffer.
Right. So, and you also there's also written documents of Wolf Brothers, but Varin, I don't remember any references to written documents of sniffers.
Yeah. The alphabet is hard. I'm trying. Apparently there's no entry for sniffer in the companion.
What?
Yeah.
How is there no entry for sniffer?
Oh my god. Well, then we picked a really hard subject.
Hey, that's good.
Well, I didn't pick it. I just showed up. But but I don't remember them mentioning that there's other sniffers.
So it's in The Great Hunt. Ingtar is talking to Perrin, and Perrin doesn't want everybody to know he's a Wolf Brother. He's hiding his eyes. He doesn't want to do the thing. They lose Huron because he's off with Rand in the mirror world. And Perrin is like, well, I can find him. And they're like, oh, you have the same gift. And he's like, yes.
Yeah, but they're just kind of, does that mean that they've met other sniffers? Or does that mean that they're like, well, since we know one, it could be something that other people have.
Yeah, well, and that's where I'm losing it too, because in my head it was just always like,
because in my mind that's something that they knew. In my mind, it's so rare that like people haven't documented this. It's kind of like Min's talent, but I guess Min's talent is documented in Shanjin. I feel like it might be just that rare.
See, that's another good point though. Are these talents documented in Shanjin or Shara? Like, what do they know about sniffers?
Yeah, if it's super uncommon, then maybe it just happens, like, well, and all, I mean, who knows, because the wheel kind of knows what everything is going to end up needing, and they know that they're going to need a sniffer for Rand, like, so Huron is probably turned out when he is, just because...
Because Rand needs him, yeah.
Because Rand is going to need him.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. There is no sniffer entry in the companion or in the Big White Book of Bad Art.
Yeah. Commissioner Smack says that it wasn't that they'd come across one, but it was that it was a concept familiar to them. But Smack, that's what we're trying to determine.
Yeah, okay, that's where I was. But that doesn't. Yeah. For me, but just having Huron around makes the concept familiar to them. So you could just assume that, like, yeah, sure, maybe somebody else has this because we're used to it.
And Julin Sandar was not a sniffer, but he and Huron had the same kind of a job.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's happening, right? That's what's happening.
Right, right. Like, one of them is, like, sniffers are really good at being detectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Julin was like Sherlock Holmes, and had hacks.
So, okay, so yeah, no, this is good. So let's talk about real quick what a sniffer is, right? Because I'm sure there are going to be people who have not read the books that had ignored our spoiler warning, and they're going to listen anyway.
I mean, that's their problem. We did what we could.
It is. You were warned. In the immortal words of Michael Kramer, you have been warned.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine. You're fine. You're fine. Walk it off. Sniffer is someone who has the ability to smell violence, right? If violence was done at a certain place, they'll be able to smell the violence, and it will leave a trail similar to a dog tracking a scent that they can follow and pick up on it. If the violence is particularly heinous, the smell is worse than if it's just a minor, hey, I punched a dude in the face kind of a situation. So that's a sniffer. That's the basic idea of what a sniffer has the ability to do. And I did look it up. I went to the watt.fandom.com. Maybe we could go to Great Blight and check real quick as well, because Great Blight has got some good reference materials.
You can do that. I'm going to go to Encyclopedia Watt.
It does say that known sniffers, and it only has Hurin listed as a known sniffer. That's it. That's the only sniffer, according to watt.fandom.com, that exists.
Oh, yeah. He is the only one. It's crazy because...
I have thoughts on this, though. Just like...
Well, that's why you're here.
The only known sniffer.
Well, because it's not the violence itself that he can follow the trail of. He's actually following the trail of the people that committed it. Right. So, I mean, they can shower or bathe or whatever, and he can still follow them. So it's not like Perrin's talent, really, at all.
No,
so,
good point.
So to me, it's almost like maybe for Hurin, the smell is how his brain sort of processes that, but it's more like he's a psychic.
Yeah, I thought because when they're following behind Pad and Fane and the troop in the Great Hunt, trying to reclaim the horn and Matt's totally not stolen dagger, but you shouldn't have fucking taken it anyway. the one in the books that doesn't look like a fish. Hurin talks about smelling violence in the area, so he could smell like their lingering odor, like a bloodhound would following a trail in the area.
Right, but then you're smelling the person. You're not smelling the actions they did.
Well, I think it was described as like the violent act, right, leaves a remnant, like a trace.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I'm saying, like, because anytime you have, like, we have five senses, right?
Right.
So anytime you're processing something that might be outside of that, your brain is going to interpret it in a way that makes sense for the five senses you have. So if Hurin's more of a psychic, then it would be interpreted by him as a scent, or maybe by somebody else it would be interpreted in a different one of their five senses.
I like that.
I'm going to butcher saying the name of this condition, but synesthesia. Is that a condition where your brain routes sensory information through multiple senses? So like, you can smell color, taste sound. So I wonder if it's like some form of synesthesia that Hurin has. And that's, what if it's actually just a neurological condition? It's not a talent like we would think with like men or with Wolf Brothers. It's just individuals with synesthesia that are able to pick up on those fine aspects that are like clues around. Because whenever, anywhere they go and Hurin's like, yeah, there was a lot of violence here. It was bad. And they start looking around, they see like the signs of a struggle and they find blood. And
that's so true. So
what if his brain is just wired and he picks it up in a more obvious way to him than
that makes anybody sense. Else? So he sees all the evidence that like a really good tracker would see. Yeah. And it processes as a smell.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. And he just, for whatever reason, that crossed wire for him just makes it more obvious. It's like the phenomenon that you get whenever like you buy a car. Like, let's say it's your first car and then you buy like a Camaro. And then next thing you know, everywhere you go, you see a Camaro because your brain is now like you're focused on it because it's familiar to you. So you notice it everywhere. So kind of the same thing, but like because of sorry, I saw my name somewhere and it distracted the shit out of me. But like it wires it in a way that just makes things that are normally subtle very obvious for him.
That makes sense.
You know, this makes me wonder because, okay, so there's a book called Perfume. Okay, and I did just look this up. and it's written by Patrick Suskind, and it's about a dude who has an exceptionally sensitive sense of smell, right? Mm-hmm. And he has these emotional reactions to the different ways that people smell. It of course ends up being like a murder book kind of a thing, but the idea is the same. Like, it's almost the exact same thing. Like, you know, if this really is just, hi, I'm Harry and I have an overactive sense of smell, that's kind of an interesting.
Why do you make it sound like an AA meeting?
But okay, I have one problem with this theory. Okay. And it is the fact that when they go into the portal stone, the portal stone world, the mirror world.
It's just old tongue for portal stone. You're fine. Thank
you. I appreciate that.
But that's how we got the old tongue.
They don't find any, I mean, because Fane isn't there, they don't find any physical evidence that he would be able to come up with. Like, there's nothing, he still tracks their scent. That's why I say it's more of a psychic thing, because the portal stone, because it's like when you get into like, because you have like a multiverse in the Wheel of Time, right?
Yeah.
And so if you... This is like my theory of ghosts and everything. I'm like, it's all the multiverse. But if you have like the multiverse, then there's always going to be traces of what's happening in other universes at the exact same time everywhere. So that's why he can still smell the scent of it. But he's not, it's not like he's seeing anything physical, because Perrin is a good tracker and he can't find anything physical. He can't see anything. He can't smell anything. So they're just going by hearings, psychic ability. That's why I think it's a psychic thing, but it's still the same. It's like a psychic thing that your brain processes as an olfactory thing.
Yeah. Well, and that comes down to
that is a word I love. I don't know why I like the word olfactory, but
we don't hear it enough. Yeah.
I mean,
that's our lesson. Everybody use the word olfactory more in your day to day.
Olfactory, your olfactory senses.
Like, excuse me, madam. Your perfume is quite pleasing to my olfactory senses.
That's right.
I like it because, I mean, that is a fair point. Because it's like some part of Huron is just keyed, at least keyed into the verse. If you will, in the multiverse, his verse, that he's from, which is pretty, from my very, 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 very limited understanding of quantum physics, is very sound, because, you know, it's the whole idea that your atoms want to remain in the universe they're from, and going to any other universe, they start to become destabilized. It's kind of like the premise for or the concept behind like Multiverse of Madness. There was something else that happened in that it was a lot better movie than Multiverse of Madness to demonstrate.
Multiverse of Madness was a rough watch for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, anytime you get a movie that was started out by one director and ends up with another director, like, it's just not great. It becomes disjointed.
Let's reference everything everywhere all at once as our multiverse.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Oh, I love that movie. Did you see that one, Andrew?
I'm sorry, what?
Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No.
Oh.
That's your homework assignment, sir.
Right, you know how much homework you've given me that I haven't done?
Yeah, I'm getting an at like my class.
Is the best of all multiverse movies I've ever seen. Also, it's a family film. Not really. Don't watch it with kids. But like, it's like,
yeah. Well, the but dude it's a jumping on the hot like dog.
It made me cry a lot.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one.
I want to say I'll check it out, but there's a very I forgot my groceries in the trunk of my car today. I'm probably not going to remember
to watch. Andrew's over here like, I am not an example. Do not follow me.
The amount of times people give me names of like movies or shows to watch, I'm like, oh, that sounds really good. And then like I turn on the TV and I'm like, well, I guess I'll rewatch Overlord for the 80th fucking time. Like,
that's me. My dad has said Shogun like 5,000 times, and I'm rewatching Bridgerton. So. I'm not even happy with it.
So, question from Wolf Brother. So, sniffers can only smell acts of crime, right? Like, if an evil person hasn't committed a crime yet, or it was a very long time ago, can the sniffer smell it? With the semantic argument that it's not crime, it's violence specifically. Like, it has to be violence.
Right.
So, it's not, he's not like, you didn't pay for that apple. I can smell it on you. Like, I don't think he's going to like pick up like
smell your thieving hands.
But he does say stab somebody, specifically, he can't smell like a dark friend.
Yeah.
Unless they've committed an act of violence.
Right. And he even explains that.
Can you smell Murdrol because their creation is inherently violent?
Yeah. He says that Trollocs and
Murdrol. Yes.
Yeah. Because their creation is inherently violent. So he can smell. Like they're well,
and they're violent. And they're just constantly violent. Like
I don't think they make it out of the blight without committing violence.
Yeah. Well, and they're not known for their showers either. So
yeah. Well, and they're not exactly. I mean, can you imagine like a Murdrol comes out and he's like, you know what? I feel like we should be peaceful. Like he's gonna get killed. There are no peaceful.
Freaking Murdrol looks at the dark one and is like, have we tried diplomacy?
Guys, we gotta change. We gotta change. Murdrol for peace. Murdrol,
this is not sustainable.
The Murdrol. Sir, I need you to come over here again. Why? What's wrong? Well, the Murdrols have glued their hands to the walls of Shia Ghul again.
Oh, bro. He would definitely treat them like, what was it, that BMW dealership? There's like, okay, yeah, fine.
Fucking that was so
turned
funny.
Out the lights, turned off the HVAC system, and walked the fuck out. They're like, have fun.
Yeah.
But no, live with a bucket to piss in.
Wolf Brother, he does actually talk about smelling battles, not necessarily criminal ones. But he does, Hurin does talk about smelling a battle because he can smell acts of violence. It doesn't matter if they're benevolent or evil or in nature.
And whatever he's smelling isn't something that you can naturally, or that even somebody with a heightened sense of smell can pick up on. Because Perrin doesn't pick up on the smell of violence. He follows the scent of the Trollocs and the Murdrol and Pat and Fane and the scent of blood. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Hurin can smell a bar fight for a short amount of time.
Well, which is why he doesn't like to go to taverns.
Right. Imagine Hurin gets shit-faced, beats the shit out of somebody, and just wakes up and it's just like, oh, I smell bad.
Well, he does.
He's just like rocking back and forth in the shower, being like, it won't come off.
Well, he is armed, right? Yeah. He walks around armed, so like theoretically he knows how to use that sword, so he probably has smelled nasty violence on him at some point.
How does that work? Like, because it's violence irrespective of whether it's like allowed or not, kind of thing.
Well,
is there like a cooldown period? Like if he gets into a fight with
Andrew.
Oh, Max headroom.
Okay. I don't know how my connection keeps going in and out. I'm not using the VPN. This is supposed to be like a gigabit symmetric internet, but I guess fuck me. So yeah, the question I have Hurin, if he gets into a fight, like let's say he's apprehending a thief or something, and he gets into a fight with him, is his talent as a sniffer rendered ineffective until the scent of the violence on him goes away?
No.
Can he smell past his own smell of violence?
No, because here's the thing. He says that he smells like Celine. Like when they meet in the mirror world, I'm just going to call it the mirror world. because for some reason it's easier to come out of my mouth than a portal stone. I have to say that. Anyway, okay. So when he meets Celine or Lanfear or whatever, he mentions that she smells like violence. But that doesn't confuse him at all as far as being able to find the trail, because he says the whole world that they're in has like a scent of violence about it, but he still knows the individual trail of like fame. So
yeah,
different violent offenders must smell differently.
Yes. No, and he does actually mention that there are a pack of dark friends traveling with them, but he only knows that there are dark friends traveling with them because they've committed violence or they've had acts of violence committed against them. And he can tell the difference. He can say there's people there, there's Trollocs there, there's Murdral there, and there's something far worse. Mm-hmm. We find out later he's talking about Padon Fain. But he can differentiate between them.
Yeah, and different individual. Okay. That's why I think it's a psychic thing. Because like different individual violence also smells different.
Different resonances. Yeah.
What if it's a mix? What if it's like, what if it is for sure psychic abilities? Because I do like that. But it mixes kind of like with the synesthesia thing. So instead of him like getting medium style readings, it crosses in his brain into the smells.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think it is. Like, so instead of
I like it. Hey, Tor Books, add this to the future printing of the companion.
Yeah.
Sniffers. It's like psychics with synesthesia. That's really all you need to put.
That's it. And then you can put a byline, London River and the Black Tar Podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I think that everyone should be named.
We are Black Tar Podcast. That's our whole identity.
Well, no, it's an official thing, so you got to do it with the legal name. So it's got to be, you know, Black Tower LLC or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The entity formerly known.
No, but I know that he talks about like more severe acts of violence lasting longer, but eventually the scents do dissipate completely. And one of the reasons they're able to follow the Trollocs is because of how grossly violent they are. So going back to your kind of thing, Andrew, is if he got into a bar fight, woke up the next morning and he smelled that and was like, oh, I think it would be like stepping in dog shit. Like it would stink. It would be bad. But you'd be like, okay, I can ignore this. I hear it, you know, and then when you wipe your shoe off, finally it's gone.
It stinks, but it's definitely my dog. I recognize that step.
But you don't have to worry about like not being able to smell the cow shit just because you've got dog shit on your shoe. Like I feel like you're able to still like smell. I guess here would be the question that I would ask. Is there a way to incapacitate his sense of smell? Is there a way to take down his sniffer capabilities in any way? Short of, you know, death or lobotomy.
I don't think so. The only way that you can stop him from tracking you is to not commit any more acts of violence. And eventually just let it fade. But people that start doing violence when the, like even with him, the reason he's such a good thief catcher is once you do some violence, then while you're running from the authorities, you're going to have to do more.
Yeah. But well, because here's the other thing too, is even if he's hunting someone down, he knows that person. Right? Like, that's how he's able to track someone down in a city. Right. Like, this guy, you know, robbed this guy and punched him in the face, and I can follow where he went. I know the route he took to get back to wherever it is he's staying.
Right.
And I wonder if he finds other trails. Like, do we ever find out, is Hurin specifically a freelancer, or like a sheriff or something?
Well, I mean, he's hired by Lord Aglemar.
Uh-huh.
So at that point, he's like, Just like Tom was like the court bard.
Right.
Wink, wink. Not that's really. That's kind of what
I
thought.
I figured he was under contract.
Yeah.
But is it like general patrol duties does he get assigned specific?
Well, he's a thief catcher. Thief catchers get assigned specific things.
Okay.
So like somebody makes a report that like somebody.
Yeah. Because I think that's what actually, I don't think it's him being a sniffer that gets him hired. It's his reputation as a thief catcher that gets him hired at being a very effective, like, thief catcher.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
not him being a sniffer. But then they're like, you know, why are you so effective? And he's like, well, I can smell violence. And they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
And I think at one point in time, he even talks about, like, being poked and prodded by Aes Sedai.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that gentle him. I think that's one of the things that like the Lord of Faldar always has like a thief catcher on retainer, and this time it happens to be a sniffer.
Well, yeah, but, and they're like thief catchers are something that happens in basically every.
Yeah, it's just you know the third age name for a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog the thief catcher.
Or a detective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, this would go back to the whole, you know, the wheel weaves as the wheel wills, you know, there really is no variation. It is the wheel weaving as the wheel needs. And the wheel says, I need a dude who can do this. Boop, here you go. So I guess the broader question there would be, does the wheel have freedom to just do whatever the hell it wants, or does the wheel have a certain set of tools it can use, and that's why we have documentation on some of them?
I mean, are you gonna tell the wheel it can't do something?
Yeah, I'll be like, sup wheel, fuck you,
you're on your own, I choose life.
Well, I feel like if Huron's a medium, what happened? Where did Andrew go? Did we lose him entirely?
He disappeared. No, he probably went to go get a refill.
Oh, okay. That distracted me. I got all worried.
I'm so worried about Andrew. You just stare at the camera and wait for him to get back.
At least somebody's worried about me. That's exactly
what I ended up doing. I just stared at the camera. I was like, what's going on? What's happening? Now I don't remember what I was
saying. Well, I'm sorry.
Huron is a medium. If Huron is a medium,
Then the wheel needed a medium, right?
Yeah.
And because Perrin was going to be there, Perrin's Tavirin, they needed you needed a situation in which Perrin was going to be able to use his talent without saying that he was a wolf brother, because for whatever reason he felt nervous about that. Yeah. So
I think the wheel is lying to itself. I think it needs a large. I think it's medium dazer. But sorry.
Andrew, are you sure you don't have kids somewhere?
Not that I know of, which means they haven't come asking for money. So at this point, yeah. I'm okay with it.
Oh, man. No, and I will say this. We did have someone in the chat, Jack B, said to don't mix up Julin and Huron. And
we're yes, not.
You are they're correct.
Both, they're, one of them's a thief catcher and one of them's a thief taker.
They both have the same job, but Huron has the smelly.
Huron has the hacks. He's got hack mode.
Yeah.
As long as it's a violent, you know.
He's cheating.
Yeah, Julin's just a really good detective.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool in its own way, because like he doesn't have any talents, like capital T talents. He's just a Sherlock Holmes sort of smarty pants.
Do you know that's actually one of the things I love about
MetroNet and I are about to fight if this keeps happening. I swear.
What's that?
MetroNet and I are about to fight over my connection dropping out.
That's one thing I like about the Wheel of Time is that the the people with like superpowers, right? Channeling, Wolf Brother, Stiffer, you know, the people with superpowers contribute to the progression of the story. But there are also people who don't have the superpowers, who are the regular people who also contribute mm-hmm. to the story. Tam Al-Thor, Abel Cawthon. I mean, even in negative ways, right? You've got the great captains. You've got the white cloaks. These are all people with no special abilities, no superpowers. And they contribute and, you know, contribute significantly to the progression of the story. And it's this really great. I remember getting into an argument years ago where Robert Jordan doesn't do class balancing very well. And I was like, did you even read the books? Like, what? Class balancing is actually done very well. Oh, Aludra. Yes, another good point, Wolf Brother. Aludra, she is just a super smart lady. And bam, like,
Aludra, changes the world. Aludra's invention changes the course of the last battle, so...
You could argue that Aludra's contribution to the books is probably top five characters.
At least to the outcome.
At least to the outcome. But even in the influence in the next age, though.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah, Aludra, hopefully she doesn't live to see all of that. But yeah.
She probably won't.
She's not going to feel great. She's going to be, she's like Oppenheimer at that point. Like, oh. Poor Aludra.
I'm doing my part.
I didn't do fucking shit.
Gowan. I didn't do shit. No, that, you know, kind of, wrapping it up here, kind of final thoughts about Sniffers. London, what's your feeling about Sniffers? Like, did we uncover anything for you? Did you learn anything?
I feel like we defined what they are.
Do it.
Huh? I feel like we defined what Sniffers are.
A little bit better, yeah?
Yeah. Well, because I said they're psychics, and Andrew, what was the word that you said they are?
Synesthesia.
They have like a psychic synesthesia. That's their condition.
That's the word.
Dude, I like that though. I really like that.
Yeah. I feel like we solved the mystery of Sniffers.
That's it. Mystery psychic solved.
Medium with a neurological condition.
Andrew, what do you think about Sniffers?
I mean, it's cool. The whole reason this became a topic was we're kind of doing this like kind of series called One Hit Wonders, where it's something that like comes up in the books like very limited, or you only see one example, and they don't really get fully explored. I mean, clearly, like Sniffer doesn't even make it into the companion.
Yeah, so,
like it's definitely not covered. Like that's to me, that's crazy. Like the companion normally has like everything.
He's like a superstar in The Great Hunt, and he's comes up multiple times. He's
But Kieran's in the companion, but like the classification of Sniffer isn't, like, it's not referenced in.
That's amazing.
Sniffer only his is entry. Also not in the glossary in The Great Hunt.
Yeah. So unless there's like another title they have that we just, you know, don't know or hadn't figured out. But I think it's a really cool talent. I like it as Robert Jordan using it as a plot device to push forward the hunt in The Great Hunt. So I think that's pretty cool. But I kind of wish we got a little bit more from it. But it does help Kieran stand out, given Kieran does a lot in the little bit of time that he's actually on screen, if you will.
Yeah. On page.
Yeah.
So according to the glossary in The Great Hunt, first off, his name is pronounced Hewrin, H-E-W.
That sounds like some lawn talk.
I-N. Hewrin, And here, the definition is as follows. A Shinaran who has the ability to smell where violence has been done and to follow the scent of those who did it. Called a sniffer, he serves the king's justice in Faldara in Shinar. That's it. That's the whole definition right there.
I feel like we answered it. I feel like we are the scientists who answered the question about the fictional character that doesn't exist. And and these are important questions.
Science. What Hiren does is when you commit violence, you get quantum entangled with the violence particle. And
Hiren, yes. Now we need to write the Large Hadron Collider, CERN. The CERN Institute, yeah. We need them to find the violence particle.
I know you found the Mohs Biggs, but can you find the violence particle?
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to our special guest, the lovely and talented London River. Thank you so much for being here. This is normally...
Like, that's a waste.
Yes, exactly. Okay. This is normally the part where I say... where can the people find you?
I mean, I can tell you where to find me.
Yes.
You can find me I mostly talk about the Wheel of Time on Twitter, but I talk about other things too. So like, if you don't want to see adult content, make sure that your adult content settings will just hide shit from you. But which I think is the default for Twitter, right? It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's London C. River on Twitter. I talk a lot about the Wheel of Time, but I also have a job. And so and my job is disturbing to some viewers.
Viewer discretion is advised.
And some of those people who find it disturbing are into that, so it works.
You know, some people like to be disturbed if you do.
I'm a big fan of the band Disturbed. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're yeah. We'll don't forget that I did that. That's right.
Work, not being safe for work.
Everybody remember to hit the like button if you like the Tuesday night shenaniganry. Remember, this is normally a benefit that is only available to our Patreonians. So next Tuesday, we will not be live on YouTube. We will be live on YouTube for patrons. And you should definitely consider doing that. You can do that for as low as $1 a month. If you are like most of us and broke and don't have $1 a month, cool. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. That is a free way to support us. And we really, really, really appreciate it when you do. To all of us, to all of you.
To all of us.
Bye.
I'd like to congratulate me, you know, all of us.
I'd like to thank me because I did this all on my own. Nobody helped me. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But yeah, like Josh said, if you do enjoy this, head over to Patreon. You can check it out. And if that's not something you're interested in, the likes, the comments, the subscribes, all that helps out enormously. So. Thank you all for giving us some of your time on this fantastic Tuesday evening. Apparently, I can't say evening. What the hell is an evening? London, thank you again for carving out some time and coming and hanging out with us. And I feel like we did sniffers of a great amount of justice where they have been neglected from the companion. And
I'm pinning my complaint letter right now.
Yeah. The sniffers have been censored from the companion. It's a conspiracy to cover up of the highest magnitude.
Hashtag justice for sniffers.
Justice for Hiren. Honor his memory. But for all of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you have a fantastic rest of your evening. And we will see you all again next week for the next episode. Goodbye.